Late Night Gamers podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Sleep. You suck so bad, it's so unbalanced. And then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlos.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit. I'm gonna put up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 44. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
It's poop again!
And Charles Caldwell.
That's stinky.
How's everybody doing? We just got off the weekend, sort of. I'm exhausted. This has been a ridiculous couple days at work for whatever reason, but I also got really sick on Sunday for no apparent reason.
That sucks.
I woke up. It was Dana's mom's birthday on Saturday night, and I didn't even drink that much. I woke up and had this like awful like sinus headache, and then I tried to eat one bite of a ham and cheese croissant, vomited, and then slept for 5 hours.
Oh god,
that was half my day right there. Terrible. Things are better now though. I'm not vomiting anymore.
Please, you are no longer sickly and dying on the floor.
You guys have anything interesting happen to you over the weekend?
No. I did nothing.
I drank all day Saturday. I got up at, like, I woke up in the morning, went to a beer marathon where they give you Viking helmet and a t-shirt, and you just drink all day. I got drunk all day and just went to bed. And then I woke up at 6 a.m. to go to Patriots training camp. Hungover.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that. That's sweet.
It was pretty awesome, but I was pretty miserable.
I went to Tupper Lake starting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Did a lot of tubing, went paddle boarding, which I discovered that I can do. Didn't die in the middle of the lake, which is nice. Almost killed someone when they were jet skiing. You know, the usual.
Typical day for you.
There isn't a day that goes by that Charles hasn't almost killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, did you guys see this article about how thousands of Legos are washing up on like this British shore? Because apparently some tanker like sank and had a shipment of like millions of Legos.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
About oil, probably Legos are more expensive than oil.
I love how it says that like the Legos were like nautical themed. Like it's like pieces of ships are like washing up on shore and like pirate Lego guys and stuff.
At first, when I was reading it, I was like, Wait, is this like propaganda for Lego? Like, are they like having nautical themed Legos wash up on shore just because like
as advertisement?
This
was on Reddit a while back, and there's like groups of people that just go and like comb the beach to try to find like particular pieces, like really rare ones. Like the smaller the piece, the harder it is to find, but like if you find like an octopus or a shark, it's like the holy grail of Legos to find on the beach.
That's fantastic. That sounds like a sweet vacation spot.
That's ridiculous.
Legos for anyone who swims. So Comic-Con was this past weekend. Not a ton of super interesting stuff came out of it. I mean, some movie announcement stuff, a little bit of video game stuff, but not like a ton. One thing that did come out of Comic-Con this weekend was Telltale's The Walking Dead, the season 3 has actually been officially confirmed, and so they're coming back for a third season, which is awesome.
That's cool.
Have you guys played? Did you play the first or second season at all?
I played most of the first, or at least half of it.
It's good.
I haven't played any.
It's good.
Yeah,
I'd suggest it.
Yeah,
I mean, Telltale does a really good job with like story-based games like that. And that's sweet. I mean, they're doing the Borderlands game coming up soon too. I think at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Where it focuses on what's his face? Jack.
Handsome Jack.
Handsome Jack. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's coming out fairly soon, and then they're also going to do that the Game of Thrones story-based game too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That seems bizarre.
It is, especially when it's like, you know, the books have been written, and I don't know how you could choose to do something different than what's actually written in the novel, but
well, the show is
good.
Yeah, I mean, they're
a little different.
They take some liberties there.
It's funny to me how George R.R. Martin is so against like fan fiction, but he is letting like the makers of the show go so far off, and now this is happening.
Yeah,
just like really, George.
He's still writing that fifth book, sixth book.
Sixth book, and then there's a seventh after it.
Yeah.
I just finished... 100 years before he's done.
Yeah, goddamn it.
After he's dead.
Posthumous releases. It's like Stieg Larsson, who did The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. Those books weren't even famous until he died.
Well, until he was murdered.
On the same sort of note there, though, the Walking Dead, the AMC show, has been... the Season 5 trailer, an extended, like, 3-minute trailer came out this week. And one of our listeners, at S_Smith1992... I asked on Twitter, I said, what did everybody think of the trailer? And he said, can only be an improvement on the finale of Series 4. So much hype about the finale, but not enough done to deliver. Trailer looks great, though. Yeah, end of last season was... Spoiler alert, just in case anyone hasn't seen the end of Season 4. Charles, have you seen this? Have you seen this? God damn it, Charles.
What the hell is wrong with this kid?
Just
I haven't watched it either.
It's nothing to spoil, there's just nothing
happened. Nothing happened.
Because we watched the first half of the season 4, and then I was just like, you know what?
If you were bored after the first half, then you definitely shouldn't be watching the second half, because the second half was just people walking around for like 6 episodes, and at the end, just Rick going, hey, they messed it with me, and I'm like, that's it?
You want a piece of me? Say hello. I'm not gonna finish it.
I mean, the trailer looks good. It looks like they're actually gonna be working with. They made it look like they're working with the people that they're currently holding them to get that scientist down to wherever it is, Washington or whatever, up to Washington.
Oh, I still haven't seen this. I should probably watch it at some point.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The trailer.
I'll probably catch up with. Yeah. All of it at some point, but you know, when there's other stuff I'd rather be watching, I'm not gonna wait and I'm not gonna spend time.
What are you possibly watching right now?
What were we watching at the moment?
New Girl?
No. I think it was Hannibal, I think it was what it was. And we were obsessed, so.
I started watching Revenge on Netflix with Dana. It's one of those, like, really addicting shows that I don't want to be addicted to.
It's like Dexter for girls, right?
Well, spoiler, I heard that it starts off really strong.
It does.
And then diminishes.
Well, we're 19 episodes in, so...
Well, that's good.
We're still paying attention to it.
Not
enough that we...
Phase.
Like it. Yeah. There's two seasons up, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But... If you get... That was terrible.
One of the things that we did over the Tupper Lake weekend was we watched, our host made us watch the Doctor Who Season 5 premiere. Because he's like, this is how you get into Doctor Who. It's like, I remember Doctor Who back when my dad was watching it. And it was like the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. So, to be honest, I don't know. A lot of the stuff that I thought were really strange at the time I like now, but... Like, my dad's just a weirdo. You're 6 years old. Let's watch Doctor Who. It's like, oh my god.
Your parents had a really eccentric library of movies, I remember.
Yeah, so bizarre.
All the Hercules movies with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh yeah.
Hercules, those are good. Hercules!
And Xena, Warrior Princess.
In the time, the gods were petty and cruel, and plagued mankind with suffering. Only one man dared to challenge their power. His name was Hercules. That was a great intro.
Wasn't Aeolus his little friend, too?
Oh, yeah.
Aeolus. And then there was...
It's like the beach bum with the blonde hair. He really was a beach bum.
He was a hobo. That's all he was. Yeah. And then, Xena and her little circular disc thing that had a blade all the way around.
Her lesbian lover.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a good show to watch. If Lucy Lawless makes you.
Well, all of those shows are ridiculous with the amount of like graphic. I mean, not graphic for in general, but just Hercules had a lot of sex with a lot of bimbos on that show.
Yep.
Like every other episode, some woman was like. I'm going to get naked and you're going to see my ass on the TV.
I don't remember that, but...
You missed it.
There was nakedness on, like, whatever channel it was on, like, WB.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they didn't show full nudity, but I know that Nick and our parents were like, lock out the kids' eyes. It's like, okay.
Just go watch, like, Spartacus that was on, like, Stars or whatever. Because, like, Lucy Lawless was in that. And I was like, shit. So much nudity in that.
This is what I've been missing.
Did you guys see did you see the trailer for the new Hercules movie?
With The Rock?
With The Rock?
Where he's just fighting, like...
Dwayne
The Rock
Johnson.
I am Hercules!
Where he's just fighting after, like, giant beast after giant beast. Like, it's like the world of giant beasts. It's like a giant boar, then a giant lion.
Every
like
article I've read about that new Hercules movie is all about how The Rock was, like, eating 12 meals a day, and he had, like, a spinal injury, and he was still forcing himself through it. He's like, I'm gonna crush it! I am Hercules!
I heard, like, in this scene where he was, like, chained up and he yelled that, he just, like, flexed himself out. Like, he just passed out because he was flexing so hard. That's what he said. Like, I saw him on, like, Conan O'Brien. He was like, yeah, I was so pumped up, and I had the chains, like, real chains strapped to me. I was like, and sleeping.
I'm excited to see it. It's going to be good.
That is going to be good.
I heard it was, like, okay. I heard it was, like, not great, but it, like, wasn't bad.
Is it already out?
Oh, yeah, it's been out for, like, a week, I think.
Oh, really? No. There's a lot of movies.
It's definitely not an Oscar winner. But...
Yeah, oh, no. They keep talking about how they haven't been, like, this year's blockbuster hasn't been that good, but no movies have come out, really.
No. Nothing, really. I mean, I think August has a couple decent.
I'm excited for Sin City. I'm excited for the Galaxy, the Guardians, Guardians of the Galaxy. Didn't sound excited, but I'm moderately excited.
I'm excited for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Only for nostalgia's sake, but not because Megan Fox is in it.
I'm more excited about Will Arnett than I am about...
Yeah, I'm more excited about Will Arnett. And the guy that plays Shredder. I actually like him a lot, too. I forget his name.
What does Will Arnett play?
It's the Shredder.
He plays the cameraman for April O'Neil.
I thought he was going to be Casey Jones.
I thought you were saying he was going to be
awesome. Splinter.
Splinter! shit.
Sensei.
Shit.
Yeah. So this actually, speaking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there was a poster that went up in Australia that was very quickly taken down that showed the turtles jumping off of an exploding building, and the date that it was releasing in Australia was September 11th, which was really, really poor advertising. And like, oh wait, that's, you know, that date is actually really, really terrible in history. So that was taken down already, but
why it was banned, but that makes perfect sense. It's one of them wearing a New York. It's one of them's wearing a New York City pin on his like little strap.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the Ninja Turtles all took place in New York City, like underground. They all lived in the sewers of New York City. But looking at the trailer of the movie, you know, the most of the characters are all still, you know, still there. You know, April O'Neil, the Foot Clan are there, but the Foot Clan all have like guns, like big weapons. Each of them has like an assault rifle. And I was like, oh come on, like the Foot Clan in the original movies never had assault rifles.
Well, I guess the turtles are dying in that movie then.
It seems more realistic, and except for like a bunch of like boneheads running around with like tights on their heads, swinging their arms around at like giant turtles.
Ninja vanish.
Oh wait, the Foot Clan and the Power Rangers what are they called?
The putty.
Putty are different.
Yeah, those are very different. But
I will associate the two in my mind.
To your credit, similar. Charles, I was thinking that sound in my head when I talked about the Foot Clan.
It's true.
They're about as useful.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I loved in the Ninja Turtles movies. I think it was the second one where it was like, oh yeah, there's this like, you know, this junkyard just full of ninjas.
Secret of the ooze.
Nobody's paying any attention.
You just go and there's just a bunch of ninjas there and you drop off your junk and you're like, whatever.
They're just like hanging out. And then like the Foot Clan, I didn't understand, like the Foot Clan were just basically there to steal shit. Because remember there was that factory or that huge warehouse that just had like, I think that was in the first one, but they had like recruited a bunch of like teenagers and then they made them go steal like televisions and VCRs.
At least it was like sort of like believable that like a bunch of teenagers would do that for like, because otherwise it's like, dude, who the hell is gonna be in the Foot Clan? Like, for what reason? Like, unless it's like organized gang or something.
Well,
like,
I thought the whole premise of the Foot Clan was they were a triad, but in the first one they were a triad. They're coming over from Japan, and that's why they had the association with Splinter.
Yeah, well, the first one was much more serious than the rest of them.
The first one was the one with the warehouse, man.
You're the rat who bit my face when I killed your master.
And then they had that little claymation scene of the Splinter rat in the cage, like doing like karate.
Can we all just agree that it's just absolutely ridiculous that Splinter's ear got chopped off by a samurai sword when he was a rat? Like, he chopped a little chunk of his ear off after he bit his face, and I'm like, dude, how bad is this guy with a sword that he like, or good, I don't know, but he like tried to hit a rat with his sword and he sliced a little piece of his ear off.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
He lost his touch since leaving Japan.
If you like taxidermied a rat, had it stand up and let me swing at it with a sword all day, I don't think I'd hit it, just its ear.
Nope. I would cut it in half.
Yeah. Like, whoops.
Oh shit, Splinter's dead.
It's because Splinter's skilled.
That's the most unrealistic part of the whole movie. Everything else I believe.
It'd be interesting to see what they actually do as their creation story. Is it radioactive ooze?
I don't know. I think their creation story is different. I think it's more,
gamma radiation?
Is that, like, alien-related?
No, I don't know. I got the impression from the trailer that they were, like, purposely created.
Oh.
Test tube?
Oh, maybe.
To fight crime? They're the new RoboCop?
or they were like test subjects or something.
I want to see what this is, because it's like, in what universe is like, you know what, let's make man turtles and we'll train them to use swords and sticks to beat other people up. It's like the ultimate government plan to
and this
create super soldiers.
And the smartest Ninja Turtle will get the bow staff. Like, come on, who gets a bow staff, period? Everyone else has, like, these things that actually cause bodily harm, and you get a stick.
Oh, well, he's got a stick with a chain hooked onto it to another stick, so that's pretty silly too. The thing is, though, that's funny. That'll be such a great... It'd be like, we need something really powerful. And they're like, turtles.
I mean, of all the animals to choose.
Well, the whole concept behind it is just wacky, but...
Just have, like, a real-life Ninja Turtles. They just... The ooze gets it, it gets really big, it gets huge, and it's super slow and just sits around all day and hides in the shell.
Part of the ingredient should be crystal meth that they throw in there.
What the hell?
That would be even better if that was like how what it actually was in the end. It was just like this like trip that someone on crystal meth went on, and he thought he was a Ninja Turtle. That's that was like a twist at the end.
Bath salts. You throw in a little extra ingredient, and that's what bath salts
do. Yep.
Oh god.
Instead of eating your turtle, you become him.
This guy.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I'm going to watch it no matter what. I don't care. I've got to be there. In other TV news, an Evil Dead TV series has been announced, and it's actually going to star Bruce Campbell.
This crazy. Is He's so old.
Potentially awesome, yeah.
I don't know if it's series. How they extend that?
I have no idea. I don't know if he's going to come back as Ash, and then like it's going to be a younger generation, or yeah, I have no idea. I mean, because they had the movie the remake of the movie, and then and there's I guess they wanted to make Army of Darkness 2 for like the longest time, but I don't know. I don't think that's in. Doing anything, so
yeah. I mean, I thought it was the same people who made the remake who were going to do Army of Darkness, or maybe it wasn't. I don't remember.
I hope they can remember. Army of Darkness
should be interesting.
Is awesome.
Should be more entertaining.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what their ideas for the TV show. Like, I mean, I guess I don't know if they're going to like focus it on the cabin or like try to go deeper. But definitely sounds interesting.
Maybe they could actually go into some history about like the Book of the Dead and like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Things in the Book of the Dead. Maybe it could just be like page by page Book of the Dead
backstory. I feel because I mean the Book of the Dead, like obviously it's like this evil book that like fucks you up and does terrible things, but it's like there's no real backstory to that apart from bringing you to like this terrible like chaos world. But
what do you know what channels?
Yeah, I was trying to look that up right now.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up too, and I didn't see anything for it. I looked it up before, but...
Because, I mean, if it's going to be on, like, ABC, then I'm going to write it off right now.
Yeah, never mind. If it's AMC, if it's AMC, then...
If it's on, like, HBO or Showtime, then I'll...
Yeah. I think it needs to be, because, like, I mean, it was a brutal movie in the, like, to begin with,
maybe
so.
They saw what you can do on Game of Thrones and get away with, and they're like, alright, it's time for an Evil Dead TV series.
Yeah.
They don't really know like how much he's going to be involved, though. I guess reading this stuff, he's going to be he's going to be in it, and they've confirmed it, but they don't know where, and they don't know like if he's going to be a main character, just like helping to produce it or something or what.
I think it'd be sweet if he played Ash, and it was like Ash was like an older person,
yeah,
like, and he was like a mentor for younger people, and he doesn't have to be in it all the time, but. I feel like you can't have an Evil Dead TV series without having Bruce Campbell in it. Yeah. Ah, shit. What happened?
Party foul.
It's all good.
Oh, shit.
Oh. we did get a listener question this week from at Shonuff71. And he asked, what are your initial impressions on the EA Early Access Service announcement for Xbox One? So, just a little background for anyone who hasn't actually read anything about it, is that the EA Early Access Service is basically a paid service similar to PlayStation Plus, in a sense, but it's strictly EA, and you would get access, you'd pay like a yearly subscription fee, and you'd have access to a certain number, or like, I don't know if it's all of the EA games that come out for the year or not. That wouldn't make sense, but but it's a certain number of them, and you get first access to DLC content, and if you sign up for this, you can actually play the game like I think 5 days before the game actually comes out or something.
It's like, yeah, it's pretty cool. You can play the game early, like a week, like 5 days ahead of launch. But even if you haven't bought it. For like a couple hours, so like, or at least they said at least 2 hours. So that's pretty cool that you can play a game, and if you like don't like it, then you like don't have to buy it.
Yeah, I think you can play it for up to a couple hours or something. That's pretty cool. I mean, the list of the games.
Yeah, it's
kind it was of... like it was like NBA 2014. You know, all the basically all the sports games which I care. Absolutely nothing about.
But. And also, it's like all the sports games that are probably like outdated now. So it's like, oh, I can play Madden from 2 years ago. Cool.
I think that aspect is cool. You know, to be able to play other games. When you read the article, a lot of the comments are like people talking about kind of like a trend towards like more subscription-based gaming models, which would be cool.
Yeah.
If this was like a precursor to like. Netflix for video games, but at the same time it's like, you know, I feel like it's kind of EA's way of trying to milk more money out of people, because I think you know, a lot of the games on here, like, it's not like new, it's not going to be new games, like, the list of the three games that they listed on there are games that are already going to be old by the time the service comes out, so it's like right. You know, it's going to $30 a year, or what is like $5 a month.
Yep.
I mean, I guess it's cool to like be able to play older games if you want. I guess it all depends on what kind of library they have.
Yeah, because I mean, like, and that's what brings people to Netflix. Is like, there's a huge library of stuff. Whether or not like you've heard of everything, you may want to go back and watch something or whatever. But if it's like 10 or 15 games, no one's gonna give a shit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's also interesting just to see that it's just one publisher.
Yeah, and it's strictly for Xbox
factor.
One.
I mean, PlayStation Plus, I mean, to some degree, you could argue that. I mean, but it's not. I mean, PlayStation is the platform, though they have their own. I mean, obviously, Sony has its own games, but it's great.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who's like, oh, I love EA games. You know, I can't wait to get my hand on that EA collection. You know, this, like, if you like a game on EA, you generally like one of their franchises, or maybe, you know, a couple of their franchises. So, I mean, I guess it depends on how devoted you are or not. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, with EA, I guess you get the Battlefield series, you get, you know, you get a handful of different series, but. Another thing they were talking about was whether or not, like Ubisoft or Activision are kind of follow this model and provide, you know, have their own subscription things. And that would be even worse, you know, if you have to subscribe to every single one, you know, then you're paying like $100 a month just to play the games you like.
Right.
You know, that would be the worst possible.
I think it's funny that they, like, all these publishers are moving away from Steam to have their own model, but as they move away, it makes it more and more expensive for gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a sidetrack because this is a nostalgia moment. But I was thinking back to Nintendo 64, and I think the last sports game that I actually owned was like NBA or whatever 1995, I think, or 1996. I don't know, something. But it was I just remember it was like EA game or EA Sports to the game, and that was always what it started out with. And that was the only reason that I had any idea that EA was associated with sports games.
Yeah, I mean, that was back when they, like, actually had to advertise, and now it's just, like, they completely own it, so, like, you literally see no advertisements for EA sports games.
No. It's not like a special area of EA anymore.
Well, there's no, like, there's no, I remember playing, I forgot what it was on Xbox, but there was, like, a different football game. I forget what it was called. Mm. And that was before EA had, like, exclusive rights to every sports game there was.
Right.
And that was, like, really fun, but now it's just, like, stagnated. It's, like, the same game every year, just, yeah. You know. I mean, I guess if you're a fan of sports games, it's probably a good deal if they, like, come out on the subscription thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played a sports game in years. Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, if, you know, one of the games that they did include was Dragon Age Inquisition, you know, which is one of their new games coming out, and I think, as Steve said, it's going to be old by the time service actually releases, but, I don't know. It's... I think it's cool. Like, I actually, you know, if there's a developer or, you know, publisher that I fully support that, you know, comes out with really good games, like if like Ubisoft came out with a subscription-based service, I might be interested in that, you know, because I buy all their games, you know, every sequel that comes out for Assassin's Creed, and I bought Watch Dogs, and, you know, they have a bunch of other franchises that I'm interested in, so it's... I don't know. It really depends. Yeah.
I think I agree with everything you said on that. Like I think this idea is a great idea, and I would totally be down for it. I just think that EA is probably not the developer that I want to like have all their games because, like, I don't know. There's just not all the games I want to play that they have. Like, especially go back and play. It's not a lot of EA games that I was like, oh shit, I really want to go all the way back and play that game again. Usually it's like I regret that I bought it.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, in terms of EA games that are like in recent memory, like this, SimCity and other games. You know, most of the games that have come out, even Battlefield, had so many issues that it was just like not worth playing. I guess maybe if it was a subscription thing, like, and you had a chance to play it before it came out, then you would have known ahead of time, which would have been nice, but yeah, I don't know. I don't see, there's no games in, like, coming out that I can think of that would be worth, I mean, I guess that's true, like, if you could play Dragon Age ahead of time and see if it sucked or not, or Sims 4, they probably won't even have that on there, though. I don't know. I guess it all really all depends on what games they have on there.
And now, is this working as like you download the game and you would actually get access to the digital download? Is that how we decided?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
It sounds like you download the game and you have access to it for a couple hours to play it. I don't know if they weren't clear whether or not it's like a demo or not, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I kind of wish that, you know, I wish there was some aspect of, you know, because PlayStation Now is going to be a subscription service for PlayStation, and that's, you know, so you can actually rent games and do that sort of thing. But, I think we've talked about it in the past, just the streaming isn't going to be up to par for the most part, at least not yet. And I just wish they would do something like similar to this, where it was like, you could download a portion of the game, or, you know, download the full game and then only have it for a certain amount of time, even if you had to delete it afterward.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think part of it is there's, like, fear of piracy and stuff, and I think that's kind of why they're moving to more subscription-based things, because, especially if you look at things like Spotify, you know, other, you know, music subscription services have kind of basically saved the music industry from piracy, and I think that's what their real goal with this is. Like, it makes it more, like, economically, it makes more sense economically to buy a game if you only spend, you know, $5 a month and can play unlimited games versus spending, like, $50 every month to buy a game you want to play.
Well, I guess we'll see how it actually works out. You know, EA is a big money company, so I'm sure they'll make it work some way, but
yeah.
So we always say,
It is interesting that it's only going to be for Xbox One. I can imagine that it's probably going to be something like an app that they would launch on PlayStation as well. But I don't know. I just feel like only launching on Xbox One wouldn't be the most cost effective for
EA. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot. I'm sure there's a lot of like politics involved, and Xbox is probably paying them, and
yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on because they want to be able to compete with things like PlayStation Plus. So,
right.
I'm curious too if it would be like cross-platform, like if you could subscribe and then have it on your PC, on your Xbox, on your PS4. Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah, that'd be really.
That
cool
would be awesome.
If you do that.
Yeah, I agree.
But I doubt that they would do that.
I don't know. I don't know what that. We will see. That's always what we say.
Yeah.
And pretty soon gaming is going to be like having a cable subscription. You just pay $30 a month and then play whatever you want.
That'd be great.
If my cable costs $30 a month, dude, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, cable's fucking... Well, I mean, eventually, once Comcast buys all video games, I don't have to spend $100 a month.
Screw that. I am, like, super frugal when it comes to stuff. I buy, like, $50 game, and then I coast on that for a while. If I have to pay $30 a month to keep playing the same game,
then you'd play more.
Then I'd stop playing.
Yeah, I have a lot of games pre-ordered right now, which is like, I think I have 8 games pre-ordered in the next like 6 months, and a couple of them are supposed to come out in the fall, and then now they're not coming out until 2015, but they're fully paid for, so. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm paid up until like February of 2015.
You're like, do I get my interest back on that investment?
Yeah.
Nope. And then they're probably not going to release until the end of 2015, and I'm going to forget and buy it again. And God damn it, failure. But anyways, this week, I think we wanted to talk a little bit about with. One of the recent games, a couple of recent games that were coming out on the Wii U, including Hyrule Warriors and Smash Brothers, and also Talk of Mario Party and also Mario Kart. But we kind of started talking about what purpose do games that borrow characters from other franchises really serve? And I mean, are they their own? Are they their own entity that's kind of just making that company money because of the characters that they borrow? Or, you know, in some cases, I think, like Smash Brothers, it's actually like, you know, the mechanics in the game are amazing, and the characters are kind of secondary to the way the game actually works. I don't know, what do you guys think?
Man, I think there's a lot of reasons why a company would do it. You know, I think in some cases it's to, like, you know, expose people to different, you know, either different worlds, different characters. Like, I can understand with, like, Marvel vs. Capcom or any of the, like, fighting mashups, you know, it's a chance for people to, like, kind of... I mean, most people know Marvel, but they might not know Capcom. Or vice, you know, I guess everyone knows Marvel. You could be, like, have not lived on this planet, so I don't know Marvel. But, you know, for some of the other ones, it was like Tekken, and I forget who else they went against. But you know, I guess I think it was Street Fighter versus Tekken. But yep. Like a chance to like merge those two universes is a chance to like introduce people to a different one. But you know, other than that, I don't see many other reasons to do it. Just to, I guess it's cool to like have weird mashups.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is, like, you spend so much time, like, with these franchises and with these games, and you have, like, your favorite heroes and your favorite games, but, like, once one person puts them together, it's, like, the coolest shit ever, and so then, like, everybody wants to do the same thing. So I think a lot of the fighting games and stuff, they're not really creative in that, like, they don't... they don't have to really come up with anything unique. They just implement the characters with the same types of moves and like environments and whatever that they like have, and then they just balance it or whatever. But you know,
building the game is like churning butter. Putting the two together is like getting the cream.
I think that's why fighting games lend so well to it, because it's literally like not as much thought has to go.
You can't screw it up. You just put them there, and it's awesome. It doesn't matter what the hell like happens, as long as the game doesn't completely blow. Like the incorporation of the characters is just, it is what it is. They're just fighting each other.
Yeah. Right. Whereas something like Kingdom Hearts, where they really have to put a lot of like thought and effort into creating like a cohesive story, that's like a totally different thing.
Yeah, and they also have to really have the characters be their like, you have to be able to have the characters interact with you, and then also have them sort of be true to their original character, which is really different. So you have to almost recreate a story with that character again just for Kingdom Hearts. So I think those kind of games are much more impressive. And I mean, there's been games I feel like that have tried to do this. So the fact that Kingdom Hearts actually worked, it's one of those games when it first comes out, I was like, yeah, sure, that's going to be good. that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to go to like, you know, Pocahontas, and it's going to be all bugged out and shit, and then I'm going to be like, this is stupid, and I'm going to leave. I'm just going to quit the game. But no, that game was really good, and there's, you know, I think it's just a testament to like actually putting really serious amount of time and really developing characters and really doing everything else. But it what it comes down to really is the kart games, the party games, the like fighting games. They're just easy ways to get people to like buy into the game. They're easy. Yeah. They're really easy. I don't want to say they're a cash grab, because that's not really true, because some of those games are really good, but it's just, they are what they are, because it's just like, you just throw the characters in. I mean, Donkey Kong in a car, and you make it like out of a barrel, and it's like, oh shit, it's Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's pure entertainment. It's like, that's all it is.
I mean, I think, I don't know what you guys think of Hyrule Warriors, but
I think it looks interesting. I'm probably going to buy my Wii U because of that.
Really?
is it basically just like Dynasty Warriors with
Hyrulean characters, but it does have a plot to it.
I don't know how it can. You're in the same place at all times and just fighting hordes and hordes of nonsense.
You don't know.
I think for a lot of people, it's going to be on like nostalgia factor, just because it's like it's in like the Ocarina of Time world.
There's a storyline to this game. The delicate balance of the Triforce has been disrupted, and Hyrule Kingdom is once again being torn apart by a dark power, this time led by Sorceress Sia. Hey, if it's anything like Dynasty Warriors...
You mean somebody wrote like an abstract before they like put the game out?
Exactly.
So there's
I honestly think it's a cop-out. Like, I think it's Nintendo's cop-out too. Hey, by the way, like, sorry, but Zelda, the real Zelda game that you want isn't coming out for years. So, so here's Hyrule Warriors. You can play as any character. Here's one of like, here's like King Goron or whatever. Like,
I hope he's in there.
He is.
Oh, now man, Charles is behind it. Charles is like, oh.
You can play as the Gorons?
Mm-hmm.
Just look at some of the images from the game, though. It looks pretty sweet, so...
I don't know. I'm just not into the... I guess I'm just not into those kind of...
Charles is all into
games.
The game for you to smash the button and kill a million guys. This is like Charles' dream come true.
Have you ever
played shredding
Dynasty
armies.
I never understood the plot to any of those Dynasty Warrior games. All I knew was there's some guy who's got like the yellow icon over his head. I'm going to that guy and killing him.
You
if
just
there's
like
an elephant in the way, better.
You just decimate like thousands of people, and then you don't know what happened, and then it's just like the gate is being breached, and then you run to the other side of the like level and you start fighting a thousand more guys, and you're just like, you're like, is there anyone else fighting this war besides me right now? Nah, man, I feel it. I've actually been really close to getting a Wii U too. I think like if it goes under $200, I might do it.
But... Oh, I'm definitely down. I've already said if like I'm keeping close eye on Black Friday this year, because I feel like I feel like the Wii U could hit.
Dude, on Slick Deals right now, or like I saw on Slick Deals like a week ago, they had a Wii U for $249 or something, and it had like Super Mario and Super Luigi, like two full games.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I was like, I don't really want to spend $250 because then like it's so close to like almost being a PS4 or like an Xbox One, but I'm kind of like
splurging and buying the Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD Wii U limited edition bundle. If it's still available.
Is it like the gold Wii U?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. That sounds
Does it have
sweet.
A Triforce on it?
Probably.
Maybe.
It should. If it doesn't.
How much was it?
If it doesn't, I don't want it.
$300.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, see.
I mean, if it was like $250 or something like that, then I could almost justify it, but $300.
I think it's when the new. If and when or whatever the new like Zelda comes out, then I think I'll be like, I'll crack.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I think there are quite a few games that I'm actually that I'm interested in playing on Wii U. Like I would play the new Super Mario or new Super Luigi game or you know Smash Brothers or the new Mario Party. Like when people come over or like Mario Kart. Like any of these games I would want to play. But I just don't know that I want to spend $250 to play them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I feel like all the drunken shenanigans that will come out of playing Mario Kart would pay back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think at least one of us needs to get a Wii U, but...
Oh, I'm definitely getting one.
Or they should remake WarioWare, because that was, like, the penultimate drunk game.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Pick your nose. That game was ridiculous. Anyways, getting back to the original... topic here. I think that Nintendo is definitely if they didn't create or didn't like invent this like kind of crossover borrower of characters, then they've perfected it pretty well because they have a lot of games out that just borrow characters from their main franchises.
Well, I think they like realize that their Nintendo's big strong suit is like their franchises, you know, because they have more than it than you know Xbox. What franchises does Xbox have? Halo.
Mm.
You know, same with PlayStation. I mean, they each have a small handful, but Nintendo, like literally, they are their franchises. They have so many things that like are so ingrained in the childhood of like our generation. That's their strong suit, and they totally take advantage of that. You know, that's I don't think anyone would disagree that is the sole reason that
they exist.
They exist, and the, you know, like Smash Brothers. That's why it's so good. That's why Mario Party is so good. That's why Mario Kart is so good. It's just like, you know, without that, those games would not exist.
Yeah, because they made that game on PlayStation. What was it called? You probably already just said it. The
PlayStation
fighting,
PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah, and like it's kind of cool, but like. Like I don't know, I saw it, I was like kind of cool, but like so I mean when you have like Mario fighting Link and then like you know I don't know like Metroid like Samus jumps out, I don't know, like that shit's like bah! these are all like amazing characters, like it's just like I mean now it's just second nature to us because like we've seen so many of it, but like at the first time everyone was like holy shit, this is too much.
And I mean like I think You mentioned PlayStation All-Stars, and I think that the thing that they did wrong was they basically copied, you know, Smash Brothers, but not enough.
Okay, yeah.
Like, because it's, you know, in Smash Brothers, you can fight someone, like, to 100% or past 100%, and, like, you know, that was, like, you were, like, really trying to, like, you know, it's like, if you were at, like, 200%, you were, like, a nasty player, you know, and then in PlayStation All-Stars, it was like, you had to build your meter, and then you get, like, a special finishing move, and that's the only time that you can actually knock people off the edge.
It's kind of
lame, and if you miss on that, then you have to restart that whole, like, build-up process of, like, building your meter. I don't know. I'm
Where's the mindless enjoyment?
Yeah, it's not there. I actually have
Where's
it. I have,
button mashing.
I have it on Vita, so I'm gonna have to try it out. But I don't know. We'll see.
I would rage at that game.
I just dropped things.
Yeah, I think to be able to do this, like, you need to have, like, a really established, you know, franchise to do it. I think, you know, probably Smash Brothers is the example, the number one prime example, and then, like, some, like, Marvel vs. Capcom is probably another one, because everyone knows the Marvel Universe, like, that's another thing that we all grew up in, and maybe not Capcom so much, but they're still, like, fully established in like, the fighting circle, you know, and fighting game genre. And, you know, the further out you go from that, like, the more obscure they are, the less exciting it is, I guess. But I think there's still a lot of opportunities for games like it, like, you know, Star Wars. Take anything in Star Wars would be cool. You know,
dude, Masters Marvel vs. Star Wars. They had Masters of the Terrakassi, that game where you fought. Like, it was like, this is a PlayStation 1 game.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
a
yeah.
fighting game in Star Wars. And they had, like, the guards from, like, Jabba's palace. You're like, what the hell is this shit? Who wants to play this fat pig-looking thing with a spear?
You just chopped his head off with a Jedi saber.
Everyone just, yeah, exactly. Everyone just played a Luke or, like, Darth Vader or something.
I mean, now that Disney owns both Star Wars and Marvel, I think that would be a really cool
What was the game that was Star Wars where you... Is the one you were talking about the one where it was kind of like Dynasty Warriors where you're running around and...
Oh, that was that was Star Wars Battlefronts or something.
Right? Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, they are making a new one of those.
Yeah,
which I'm extremely excited.
That game was pretty good.
Choke people out. Oh, it was so good.
I wish they were still coming out with 1313 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that looked amazing. But
that game looked really good.
No, it's gone.
Yeah. Hopefully not forever. Maybe it'll be picked back up again. Because a lot of times, like, you know, a studio will pick back up a franchise, but we'll see. I think that brings us to our top four worst franchise characters in crossover history. And I think, let's see, Charles, are you first on here? I think you're first.
Yeah, mine is on there. Link in Soul Calibur. Mainly because Link was just, I mean, as a character goes, the sword character, he was just so two-dimensional. But all the characters in Soul Calibur, if you play them right, you decimate everything. Like, there's characters that spin around on the ground. Valdo, I think his name was, they always play, and you, like, bend your arms back, and you, like, crawl on sights, and then Link's just like, oh, I've got a sword. Oh, it's awful. It was terrible. I don't know what they were thinking, including Link in the game. They should have had some other character from the series or something, maybe like Ganon or Ganondorf or Ganon from Ocarina of Time, the end, as your evil character. That would have been maybe a little interesting, but Link is just
pitiful. He's Kirby. He's awesome. You could have sucked him up and spit him off the friggin' level.
Nice.
I want Kirby to be in a fighting game like that where he's just totally foul mouthed and like awful. Like, yeah, I just sucked you up, bitch. I spit you out. Fuck you. Get out of here.
Badass Kirby.
Fuck you.
That'd be hilarious.
You taste like shit.
Tim, I think this next one's yours.
Yeah, so number two is Mr. Game & Watch from... in Super Smash Brothers. And I don't know what, he was originally from like a little Nintendo handheld, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he's just the worst. I remember actually having like a bunch, I don't think I had Game & Watch, but those little, they were like, before we had like handheld consoles, it was just like a little game that like lit up in different spots. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was like an LCD screen, but it, like, only certain spots actually had any sort of interaction, you know.
And if you turned it, you could see exactly where all those spots were.
Yeah.
The guy could punch up, down, straight, and like that, you could see all the arms if you like.
Yeah. Or there were like, I remember having like a baseball game, and like the baseball had like literally like three spots where it lit up like as it was coming towards you. So you had to like, you know, if it was a fastball, you knew you had to like hit the button when it was like on the second dot, or if it was like a curveball, you had to wait and hit, you know.
Yep. I think I had a baseball game and Smash TV, I think, where like tons of guys would just come from, like, I think four different directions, and you were just down at the bottom, and you could move forward and then, like, fight in a couple directions, but it was ridiculous. Mr. Game & Watch. Terrible.
Just reminded me of this, like, game I used to have, like, this, like, handheld Mortal Kombat game that I used to have. Oh, I'm looking up right now, and it had, like, these, like, cards with it that you, like, had to swipe. Like,
what?
Yeah, it was like, it was Mortal Kombat, and it was really similar in like that it had like, we had like, you know, more spots we could be, but like, you know, it was like very like analog, like up, down, like you'd punch high, punch low, and then at the top there was this little credit card swipe, and like you had cards that you could like buy, and you could swipe them, and then it would like unlock characters or unlock power-ups like in the game.
Sounds like a money grab right there.
The system was called Tiger Barcodes with a bunch of Z's.
That's Tiger owned, like, all those things.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy. Right. I'm looking at it right now. It's just ridiculous, man.
Steve, I think the next one's yours.
Yes, okay. So, mine is, this isn't the only one, but, like, it's Jack Sparrow in Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, I know that, like, Disney owns Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, but, like, I feel like the whole thing that makes Kingdom Hearts awesome is, like, all these super old nostalgic, like, cartoons and, like, movies that, like, we grew up with, and then it's just, like, come on, man, Johnny Depp's in it? Like, I don't know, it's just ridiculous, the worst, man.
Captain Hook, maybe.
Yeah, you can put Captain Hook in there, I just feel like, you know...
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is gonna have Jar Jar Binks in it, so now that, like... Disney owns Star Wars.
That would be terrible.
That would be the ultimate troll move.
Oh my god.
Misa Jar Jar Binks.
He's the guy that follows you around. No, he's like Navi. He tells you the tutorials and everything.
Oh, it's Navi with a lisp.
Yeah, like, and he like says, he says everything backwards. Yusa push an A. Yusa jump. It's like, what? Excuse me, what? How do I...
Hey! Yusa listen!
Listen.
You used to go big boom, push B. It's like, what? I don't even know what that means. What the fuck is Jar Jar Binks doing in this game?
God damn it, Jar Jar.
Man, that would be the worst.
You know what would make you know what would made every Star Wars better? If Jar Jar Binks wasn't in anything. Just take it and just green screen him off, and just those people just stand there and don't respond. Like they're just like.
I'd rather have moments of silence than.
Oh shit! He was so bad.
I'm surprised they haven't like after they all the CG changes they made in like the original, and like
they didn't remaster him
all those. Yeah, just get rid of them.
Or they remaster him and then like recast the voice actor. So it's just
I
like,
am Jar Jar Binks.
It's just a completely different person.
It's the voice of James Earl Jones. Like, what the hell? Aren't you Darth Vader?
They should have just had him be like Chewbacca and make noises that you can't understand, like bree bree bree.
That would have been. I would have
subtitles and shit.
Yeah,
that's
much better.
Fucking judge.
So my pick for the worst franchise character in crossover history is he's not the best character, but I picked Isaac Clarke because of from PlayStation All-Stars because he's basically like an astronaut that walks around and you know he has guns and stuff, but there's nothing really else cool about him. You know, everybody else has some sort of cool special ability or something, but All he has that's cool is like his weapons and his armor, and that's it.
Yeah, you think they would have added in something from Dead Space for him for his character, like he can shoot off the limbs of his enemies.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. Or like, yeah, I don't know.
During every battle, you can strategically annihilate the limb of an enemy.
Plasma cutter, blam!
Oh my arm!
That'd be like a sweet finishing move on something, like, all your limbs fall out and then the torso falls to the ground. That'd be excellent. My other pick was Jigglypuff because Jigglypuff is the absolute worst.
Jigglypuff's
the best. What are you talking about?
Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff.
I'm gonna sit here and sing you to sleep.
Yeah, it's and then he goes, ping, shoot your ass off the thing.
It's like, guess what, buddy? I'm just going to roofie your ass and then beat you up. He's a joke. Coward. I think that brings us to the part of the podcast where we talk about what we've been playing. So what have all of you been playing?
What have I been playing?
What's this kid been playing? Can we guess?
Dota. Yeah, I've been grinding out. All the TI4 stuff ended this week, actually last night, so all my, 700% bonus experiences ended. 700%! That was, every time I played, it was, playing 7 times from now on. I don't think I can play anymore. Anyways, so I've been doing that. I also played Watch Dogs a little bit, but I don't know if it's just me, man. I just can't... The single player life in me is just so. I just don't have the attention. I did one mission. I was like, this is too slow. I drive to my next mission. I was like, I can't take this way. It's like real life. So I stopped after a little while. But I mean, I also installed Witcher 2. So that, nice. I got one step closer to playing it.
That'd be good.
And then I saw that Square Enix, it was a Square Enix, the Humble Bundle this week. Yeah. And I'm, really close to buying that, but then I realized, we're just talking about Dead Space, and I'm like, I bought that in a bundle, I haven't even installed that, all of them or whatever, so.
I know, I bought Dead Space 2 and was a while back, and I haven't done anything with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got so many single-player games, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Tim, what are you playing?
I've just been playing WoW. I played a little bit of Wolfenstein, but not too much. But I have my 790 in WoW. I have a level 80 right now, so almost to my 8th. And I haven't even redeemed my free 90 yet. So
good lord,
do that at some point. My goal is to have a 90 of every class before Warlords of Draenor comes out. So. Almost there.
Damn.
God. That is ridiculous. Jaros.
I recently beat Tomb Raider. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm excited for the next one. I started watching all of the teaser trailers for it. It looks good. Well, the teaser trailer for it.
Yep.
Right now, I'm going back to Bioshock Infinite because I bought the Episode 2 Burial at Sea. I beat the first episode, and it was okay, and then I moved on to other games, but now I'm going back, and it's interesting. Not sure how, but I feel like every single one of these I've not really formed an opinion on. I enjoy playing it just because it's Bioshock, but it remains to be seen how I'll ultimately feel.
Yeah.
Didn't they close the studio the studio that made Bioshock is gone, right?
Yeah.
Yep. It really sucks, because I was hoping that they'd make another one.
Well, I'm sure What's-His-Face is going to... Ken Levine is going to create something, but...
I think he was more interested... Didn't he say he was more interested in, immersive games now?
Yeah.
Totally immersive.
Games
that you play underwater?
The games now are pretty damn immersive,
I see that as being more games for the Oculus Rift.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
I hope not. God. I don't know.
You're only good so far with that.
I don't know. You're only going to hit a certain audience with that, too.
You get an Oculus Rift. You get an Oculus Rift.
I'll get one if you get one.
That'd be the best.
I don't know what game would be the best for an Oculus Rift, to be honest. I keep trying to think of it, and I just can't.
Horror games, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be.
Horror games and, simulator, high-graphic games, like environmental exploring games would be awesome, too.
Adventure games. You're actually a superhero, and you're flying around, and you can, punch people.
But your real hands?
Yeah.
And they really hit someone in the face?
Even games like Gone Home or something like that would be really cool, because you'd feel like you were actually, moving around in the environment and...
Mm. Well, maybe.
Interacting with stuff.
Regardless...
I don't know. I have been playing basically just Watch Dogs because I'm trying to get through the campaign so that I can finish it up and sell it. Or I'm getting to the point where I'm deciding whether or not I want to platinum it right now, but it's supposed to be like 100 hours, so I don't know if I want to do that.
Damn.
Ugh. It's, I've been going through and doing, like, all the QR codes, and, I just went, I checked in at every single location, I think last night, and then, I don't know, it's just, I just want to finish the, I'm not, like, super, enthralled by the storyline, but I don't know, we'll see. I don't feel bad for anyone in the game. Like, I feel like there's sections where you're supposed to feel bad. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like your family.
Yeah, and you're just like whatever.
Whatever. Like, just go. Get the fuck out of here. I don't care about you. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, it is the first game in the series, and I definitely think they'll make more because they've sold a ton, but I think I'm hoping that the second one will be a little bit more will pique my interest a little bit more.
Sure.
I like the gameplay, but
I also feel like in the game, like, they really try to stress like being creative and like being kind of stealthy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's because I'm playing on PC or whatever. I just feel like I just don't care. I just run in and I just, like, guns blazing, just dome, like, 50 guys, and then I just get to the end, and then I'm like...
No, it's not hard to do that. Like, there's
just like, you know, I could spend a half an hour looking at all these cameras, or I could just run in with an assault rifle and just, like, unload on everybody.
I do that from time to time, but I go through, and I was like, I just watch, and it's like, oh, you just walked past an exploding thing. You're exploded. You're exploded. You're exploded. And then I go in and I kill the rest of the guys, and that's it.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was doing too.
Just like kill as many people as it can explode. Like, I mean, you can like disrupt their communications or whatever, and it's like then they get all like frazzled.
Also, like, there's a stupid thing where people online can like fuck with you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's super annoying. I'm like doing a mission, and all of a sudden it's like so-and-so is like hacking you, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. I want to just play the game.
Yeah,
like
they're hacking you, and they're doing something. They're fucking hiding in a trash can, you little douchebag.
Yeah. One guy was like hiding underneath a building. So I like searched for him for like a half an hour, and then it showed me where he was, and he was like in the basement or something, or like in a garage or something. What? So I was like up on the street, like just like unloading on all these like civilians because I didn't give a shit.
Yeah, my reputation has been menaced to society or whatever for like ever.
Yeah, because you run over people because you're like, get the fuck out of the street! I'm going like 100 miles an hour right now.
I'm gonna like, you know, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift right into like a whole crowd of people. But yeah.
Anyway,
I also have Sniper Elite 3 that I need to play that I haven't started yet. So I'm gonna do that, but that brings us to the end of the podcast. So I just want to thank Shownuff at Shownuff71,
Shownuff,
and at S_Smith1992. Thank you guys for writing in this week. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Steve. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 44. And I'm Nick Prasnowski, and we're out.
Peace.
Gamers.
Steve, you suck so bad, it's so unbalanced. Blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlos.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit. I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Damn.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
What's up, man?
You listening to me breathing?
You're like, yeah.
Can't help it. I breathe deeply.